So, growing up in a little bit different part of the country, and then kind of just sitting straight up in bed last evening, it really brought this scripture into mind as we are living out these days and right now. Mark's Gospel, chapter 13 says, "But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. The end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, even in Oklahoma, amazingly enough. And there will be famines and troubles, and these are the beginnings of sorrows." You wonder. You can't help but wonder as a believer if there isn't something stirring, something's going on. The Bible says that the earth groans, wanting to be put back in its proper condition, you know, just wanting to be restored to their original design that God created. We get so set on so many different things going on around us that, you know, with our workaday world and our marriages and our families and our friendships and our extended families and all the things, and especially this time of year when all the busyness starts really kicking in from here on out, it's just pedal to the floor, I know. But I like having those little subtle 5.6 reminders that, you know, God's on the throne and there's a stirring. There's something going on. And I'm excited about that. This morning, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll pick it up in verse 11 this morning, so you might locate that. But and as I think about that, the Lord's desire, if in fact we are, which I believe we are, living in those last days, what manner of life would God desire us to have? What would be reflective of a life set apart to the Lord? And so I kind of was thinking, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. I'll cite them for you so you know that I'm not reading them out of anything other than the Bible. But we'll get to 2 Corinthians in just a moment. But I've been thinking about this idea of what does that look like to be followers of God, and what manner of life would the Lord desire for us? Because he wants us to be his people. The Bible declares that we are a peculiar people. We're a unique people. We're designed by God to maybe not fit exactly into the rest of the world. We are called out from among this world, and yet we still live here. So it's not necessarily our clothing that sets us apart. It's not necessarily our haircuts or lack thereof that. But it's more or less really just who we are as believers. And certainly that love is to be the marking on our lives that really identifies us as Christians. And we'll talk about that as we get into things this morning. I think we're going to see love worked out and kind of displayed for us in the things that we learn this morning. In Romans chapter 12, I'm just going to read a couple things to you and then we'll get right into 2 Corinthians. Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore," and everything else that he's been stated in Romans until this point is pointing to God's grace, that goodness of God that God's displayed, unmerited love and favor for you and for me. Though we do deserve eternal punishment in hell, God's given us his grace instead. He's been merciful, not giving us what we deserve, but instead been gracious, giving us unmerited love and favor toward each one of us. "I beseech you, therefore," based on that, brethren, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I would cite and note for you, "and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I think that's kind of something that we want to hinge this message on a little bit, to think through, to understand that we want to be really transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the way that happens, really, is that I am in agreement with God. Because I can't always change my heart. I can change my mind about matters. And God could change my mind, but he won't, because then he'd be forcing himself upon me. So he's not going to force himself upon me or upon you to change my mind. But if I change my mind, even though I can't change my heart sometimes, most times, I can't fix that. I can't change my heart about something. But if I change my mind about things, God will change my heart. In other words, if I agree with God and I pursue God, God, in agreement with him, will then ultimately change my heart to conform to who he is. By the renewing of my mind, my life, your life, our lives as believers become transformed. And so it's a powerful truth. It's a biblical truth. We want to have that mind of Christ within us, that changed life. And do not be conformed to this world. I think that's part of what we're hinged on today. Don't be conformed, or don't allow the pressures of our world around us to push us and to mold us and to shape us. We ought to be those that are different. We are different. And I think we've got to accept that we're different living in this world. We're not going to function like the rest of the world. We ought not to function like the rest of the world. But there's a lot of pressure to do that. One of the reasons I've been bringing in, and I go back to this from time to time, we've been bringing in the guest speakers like we have once a month for a while. How long we'll do this, I don't know, but we're doing it now. So, you know, we're bringing in these different guest speakers, and I'm real excited. Laura's got a great message to share with you about her changed life and what, and I think it's great. Over 50% of our congregation is ladies, so I'm real excited that we're going to have be able to have a lady come and share, you know, what God's done in her life. And I know many of you ladies have had radical transformations. God's done unique and wonderful things in your lives. And though you may not identify with breaking the land speed record on the salt flats going 198 miles an hour, you may be on some kind of motorcycle device, but you're going to identify with other issues in her life. And all of us do. Whatever it might be, she had a vast backdrop, and so there's a lot of identification that we'll all have. But the idea is that we don't want to be conformed to this world. Our world is trying to push us like what happened to us at the Chiefs game when we went out there for faith and family, whatever. And we get stuffed, that was my Jewish ancestry coming out, stuffed in the back South 40 somewhere out there in the parking lot. You Christians have this little sector over here. They paved over some little spot and just stuff us off in the creek over there somewhere. And, I mean, it's just the way it rolls. But to me, it was so great that that happened because it really was a great example for something like this to share with you so you could see it. That's what the world thinks of us. Hey, good, fine, keep it to yourselves. Everywhere we turn, isn't that what's happening? In the workplace, everywhere you and I go, keep it to yourselves, keep it to yourselves. But everything inside of that's contrary to good news. That's contrary to the anecdote. That's contrary to the hope that we have in everlasting life that we could actually share with anybody and everybody, right? That's contrary. And so by bringing in some of these people, I do not care about their celebrity if they have any. It means nothing to me. It means nothing to God. God is not a respecter of persons. So that I'm not hung up on any of that. I don't care about that. But what I do care about is the identification with these unique different individuals that we get to bring in. One, we get to see them. And the other thing is I'm hoping that it starts to stir within us. They've gone on record, haven't they? It's all over the internet, all over the world. They've gone on record that they are followers of Jesus Christ and that God has changed their lives. And I think it's about high time Christians all over the world go on record. And I think it's time we go on record that way as being believers and followers of Jesus Christ and share that testimony that you have. Wherever you've been, whatever God's done in your life, how God changed you. That's all. That's my hope, is that we're seeing people that are boldly coming out and saying, no, this is what God's done. And I'm hoping it's empowering to you as a Christian, that it's encouraging to you as a follower of Jesus Christ, that we have brothers and sisters in all different walks of lives doing the same thing that we can do by sharing our faith with others around us. It's that simple. It's not complicated. That's the vision that God put on my heart regarding this. Just to inspire and encourage us, because I think we need it. We're living in a world that's just pushing us back, marginalizing what you and I have in the hope of Jesus Christ. So today, as we kind of talk about this, the significance of this, we don't want to be conformed to this world's vantage point of us, but we want to be transformed. And we're going to talk about that and some very interesting things. I want to read one more thing out of Romans. Goes a little bit further. That was chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. And do this, knowing the time is now at hand. It is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We're going to be in his presence. Every day that goes by, we're one day closer to being in his presence. Whether the Lord comes back for us or we go to be with him through leaving this tent, either way, right, we're getting closer and closer to the destination. The night is far spent. The day is at hand, for sure. A lot of us spent plenty of time in the darkness. The night is far spent. We spent time there. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So it's twofold. Getting rid of something, putting on something. Taking something off, putting something on. Very graphic, very clear for us to understand. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, nor in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Well, let's continue. Let's get over now to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll just wrap up chapter 6 this morning. That's all we really have time for. We'll take communion in a little bit as we close out our service later today. And so I wanted to set that stage, though, that don't be conformed. Let's not be conformed. Let's not allow ourselves to be pressured by the world around us to conform to the world. But let's be transformed. Let's accept that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let's accept that we need to put on this new life in Jesus Christ, very graphically for us, shown to us here in verse 11 through 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read through this all the way through, and then we're going to go back and break it down. So we'll just kind of get a good idea of what we're talking about. Oh, Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Just be open. Be open. Hear what he's saying. Be open. But he says, not too open. Be open to the right things, the things that are from the Lord, from those who are investing in you wisely. Be open to that. But do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Verse 14. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? You'll notice these things are mutually exclusive. They are diametrically opposed to one another. They don't fit together. If your electricity's on, if that's the case, and you walk into a room and you've hit the light switch, and you've got light bulbs in, and the light comes on, and it was pitch black, all of a sudden it's not dark anymore, right? It's pretty straightforward. They can't exist. They don't exist together. It's either light or it's dark. You know, it's really good for me that things are spelled out this way. But anyway, what communion is light with darkness? It's just, okay, that makes sense. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So, Paul is laying out something for us regarding their affections as people, the things they're connected to as followers of Jesus Christ. And he says, we've spoken openly to you. And we kind of touched base on this in our last study. But Paul said, hey, these are the credentials of our ministry. This is how we do things. This is how we approach things. And he was very clear in laying that out. And he says, hey, we're wide open to you. We're just sharing our hearts with you. And he continues with that thought. We have spoken openly to you. Our heart is open, wide open to you. You are not restricted by us. He says, we're not putting, you know, holds on you saying, hey, don't do this, don't do that. But really what puts those restrictions on us is our own affections, our desires for other things. You know, and we talked about that, how it comes in, you know, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, entering in, and it chokes the word, and we can be unfruitful. You can find that in Mark chapter 4, as he goes out and talks about the sower sows the seed of the word, and there's four different places that it kind of lands and can affect people. We want to be those that take in the word, and it bears fruit. much fruit. You're restricted by your own affections. Now in turn, for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. He says, I have affection as a paternal, you know, caretaker for you. I have real affection for you. I want to communicate this with you. And he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, that's pretty graphic in its design by description. Jesus was not confused about what he described. He was describing something very, very specific and something that in an agrarian society they would totally understand and identify with. This is a culture and an environment where they live off of the land, farm animals, cultivating their soil, planting seed. All those things just made generally totally perfect sense to all of them. They lived in that kind of a mode and a world. And so this idea of this yoke that would be built out and developed, and it was done by, the yoke was built by a master craftsman, not a framer. You know, a framer is somebody who gets out there and just, you know, sawing up lumber and cutting it and framing it. You know, just, it's just, you can have gaps in some things. Well, Dan wouldn't allow that, but some of us are more comfortable. Just have some little gap. We just move right through it and get it done, you know. Some people are more meticulous than others. You might think about maybe Finnish carpentry instead. I don't know. But it's a little more meticulous. But that's the word that's really described, that someone who manufactures or makes yoke. Jesus was a master craftsman. His father was a master craftsman. They weren't just mere cutting up firewood, you know, carpentry stuff. They weren't just slamming up a shed somewhere in somebody's backyard. They weren't just building a pole barn, all of which are useful and needed. All of that was useful and needed. But that's not basically what their forte was. They were master craftsmen. They would have likely probably built this type of thing, a yoke. And they would design, what's interesting about a yoke is they're built in such a way that they're designed to fit the animal in which it goes on. So the animal bearing the yoke is looked at and it's designed to fit on that animal properly, correctly, comfortably. And it is designed in such a way to bring ease to the function of what that animal did. It's not created to be more cumbersome, but it is designed in such a way that causes them to work and function with ease. I challenge you, let's go back very quickly to Matthew and his account in chapter 11, where Paul clearly knows this concept that would have been taught, spoken of by Jesus, and no doubt had this possibly, I would say likely, in mind in speaking this. In verse 28 of chapter 11, Jesus speaking says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Come to me." Our world is heavy laden. Our lives sometimes feel that way. Heavy laden, burdened. And Jesus would always tell you and tell me and the world around, come to me. Come to me. Aren't you glad that you've got a savior, a king, a ruler that says, bids you to come to him? I don't care who you are. I don't care who you think you are. I know that we are to come to him. We're just to simply come to him. I love some of the lyrics of the song that, man, I will humbly bow down. I will bow down in humble adoration. Man, he is God. We are not. You know, what a truth. So he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will provide that rest for you. Take my yoke upon you. So Jesus is saying, take that and let's bear it together. Basically, he's saying, link up with me. Connect with me. Get connected to me. You know, it's like what we talked about in a recent study last week, I believe, where we talked about the fact that we are partnering with the Lord. We're linking up together, connecting directly with him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What are you carrying around? What do I carry around sometimes that I'm just so overloaded with, burdened down by, dragging, and yet did I put that on me? Most likely, because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It didn't mean that there wasn't things to do for all of us, right? We've got things to do as believers. But it's saying that link up with the Lord and he will work in and through you together, working, serving, doing things. Take that yoke. Be connected to him. My yoke upon you and learn from me. He's gentle and lowly in heart. He's not going to connect up with you and then, you know, yank around and drag you around because you're connected to him and slam you up against a wall because he didn't like that and move around. You think about that. These farm critters get connected up together like that. You got two oxen, they got to be paired well together, don't they? They got to be paired together and fit. In this illustration, he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So what the Bible's declaring, what Paul's saying, is there's something that is intrinsically unhealthy, going to be somewhat maybe damaging to us by being connected that way. Now, that can be not only in our boyfriend, girlfriends, our marriage and family things that we're pursuing, that may be our business endeavors. To yoke is to become very connected to someone when you yoke that way. And there's a real danger in being unequally yoked. And that's what we just want to break this down and look at this in the eyes of the scripture today so that we can see, because sometimes we take this stuff and just say, you know, well, I just don't get it. I don't see what the big deal is, because we just want to do what we want to do. Now, I can't help you. If you want to go out and do what you want to do, you're going to go out and do what you want to do. All I can share with you is the practicality of this simple truth. Don't be unequally yoked, because it can bring a lot of grief and a lot of heartache and a lot of serious, serious difficulty in your life. It is a truth. There's no way to escape it. I understand that people can find this offensive, but it is just simple Bible truth that we need to grab a hold of, because, man, you can save yourself and spare yourself a whole lot of grievous nightmares in your life if you embrace this simple truth. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. One of the first things I would notice is, because we are different. That's one of the main things. We're different. When we've come as a Christian, as you and I have come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we have been born again, and now we are different. We see things differently. Now, I'm not saying that you and I don't interact with or work with people that are non-believers. I understand. Paul said, well, what do you think I'm talking about? You have to leave the planet to not interact with non-believers. So he's not talking about that. He's already set that score straight. He's not talking about that. He's talking about being linked up, yoked with, directly connected to, in a more intimate way that is going to either be working together or working opposite. That's part of the issue. We have been born again as Christians. A believer has a completely different perspective. 1 Peter. Peter gives us some great insight into this. In verse 22 of the first chapter, he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now, we get into the crux of this. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed. Okay, you and I, in these tents, this is corruptible seed, right? This is going to perish. This body is, but trust me, it's grinding to a slow, tedious halt, ultimately. Now, I didn't think that not too many years ago, but I'm becoming a little more aware of that likelihood. It's just, this is corruptible, right? But it says, you've been born again, you've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. How? Through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's how you and I got born again. We got born again of the incorruptible seed, the truth of God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We heard the truth. The truth penetrated our hearts. We received it into our lives. That's the seed, the beginning of what God's wanting to do in our lives. We've been born again now of this incorruptible, something that will not destroy. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. That's what happened to us. We heard that word, that good news from God's word, and we responded to that. And we've now got a new nature. We are different. Not of the corruptible, but the incorruptible now lives within us as believers. Don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. First, right off the shoot, is you guys, we have a different, entirely different perspective on life. Well, it's just a business arrangement, really. But what happens when the business arrangement goes off into an odd, maybe bizarre form of tax sheltering? It's not really quite legal, but you know. Now, if you're a fervent believer and you're wanting to walk with the Lord, all of a sudden there's a deep sense of conviction in your heart. And you say, no, no, no. I would rather pay the taxes and just sleep well at night and do business right than get caught up in something that's not right. Now there's this unequally yoked, because you've gotten involved in this business thing, and it's a completely different perspective. Their God is something different than your God. Their master passion is different than your master passion. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You can start to see there's a different perspective, a different way of viewing things. Right at the very core, we became born again of the incorruptible. We don't see things the same way. We just read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, just recently. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is the same old creation he's always been. All things are just the way they were. It doesn't read that way. If anyone's born in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So it's a new perspective. As believers, we're looking at things from a God perspective. And you and I cannot force a non-believer to look at things from a God perspective. They're not going to embrace it. It's spiritually discerned. It's not going to make sense. And so now when you connect with that, you're going to see totally different perspectives. Well, I want the kids, we say, I'm just missionary dating. I'm just trying to connect up with these people, and then I'm not. I'm married, been married 31 years. I am not missionary dating. I am giving this as an illustration. If people say this to me, you know, kind of thing. They don't use that term. I use that term. They use the terms, well, I'm just trying to win them over to the Lord, show them the love of God. So you're the only one that can show them the love of God, and the only way you can show them is sucking face in the back of the car or whatever, right? That's the only way that you can show them the love of God. I wasn't come off the truck yesterday. I get it. I know what's going on. The point is that really the truth? No, that's not the truth. The hormones are raging, we're going out of control, and we're going different directions. That's the truth. Just cut the chase, man. Don't lie to yourself. God knows the truth anyway. You're deceiving you. Parents, don't be deceived about what your young people are up to. Don't be deceived about that. It's either for God or it's not for God. It's not confusing. God is direct, God is clear, God is loving. This is why when we break all the way through this, you're going to see how God is loving about these things. He does it because he loves you and he loves me. God's got a purpose and a plan. Don't be condemned by this. Be transformed. Don't be condemned. Let God transform and change your life. That's really what it's about. Man, we're changed. Let's read a little bit further about this change. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion is there? What unity? What fellowship? What camaraderie is there? With light and darkness, we said it's mutually exclusive. What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? Basically, the answer simply stated is there is none. There's no connection. The only connection there is the one you try and create in your own mind, in your own heart. That's the only connection there. There is no true connection. I've had things where I had engaged thinking someone was somewhere where they weren't. I was engaged in some transactions, and I bowed out of them. Cut me whatever is due me now, and I'm done. I thought you guys were flying right. You're not. I'm not going to run with you. It's horrible. I lost some money. The people I was involved with were upset with me. I just thought, that's too bad. You guys do whatever you want. I'm not running with this. I'm not going to do this. Everybody were great people and everything. I just realized, it was clear. Sometimes it's costly in the sense of sometimes it's difficult for us. The best thing is don't get involved with it to begin with, and then it doesn't happen. But I've made the mistake of getting involved in some things and then having to undo them, and it's horrible. But the first thing that you'll note is that there's a different perspective. They're not going to see things. Look at parents. Parents. Boyfriend, girlfriend, serious about maybe getting married to a non-believer. Understand this, that if you do so, there will come many times throughout that time that there will be great conflict of vantage point in training that child, in developing what's really important in that child's life, to the extent of even where they go and what they do, you might become at tremendous odds as far as the whole perspective of raising the family. It would be a horrible, difficult thing. I tell you, being married and having children is difficult enough without throwing that in the mix. And you do it to yourself. You've got no one to blame. God's word warns us. And you know what? You're going to have to live with it. It's very difficult. Very difficult. It's difficult when you're on the same page, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Those of you who are raising the young people, it's difficult being on the same page. Much less if you've got two different perspectives. I mean, it can be very clashing, to say the least. Let's move on. The next thing we find, verse 16, is really, how does this affect other people around me? That decision to link up and do something that God's saying don't do, how does that affect other people around me? Maybe others in the body. And what agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, collectively and individually. Collectively and as individuals, you and I are the temple of the living God. We are a part of one another. We are the body of Christ and part of the body of Christ at large. One of the things that you'll find is Joshua 7, verse 24 and 25, you'll find what happened with Achan. When Achan was with the people of God, and he's one of the people of God, and he goes out and he ends up taking some of the garments and some of the things. He took some of the spoils when they were told, absolutely, do not take any of the spoils from Jericho. Just let it all go. Let it all be destroyed. Took some of those spoils, gathered them, kind of buried them under his tent. But you know what? It wasn't just, guys, gals, it wasn't just Achan that got hit on this. Achan's whole family and all that he had was taken out, and all the people of Israel stoned him. Everybody suffered. The Bible also says in Romans, it was very clear that if one part of the body is exalted, all are exalted, and if one part suffers, they all suffer. You see, what you and I do affects others around us. We're bringing other people into it. It does have ramifications. It's real. We saw what happened with Achan's family. They're all wiped out because of it. So you kind of got to weigh things out. I'm not saying what type of thing will occur. I just know that these are the effects and that there are effects of your decisions and my decisions. The decision you make today not only affects you later today, but it can affect you out here. You know, right? Paul, who had done worship with us for a long time here years ago, his dad was an attorney here in town for a long, long time, many years. And Paul had made this statement to me one time because he'd gotten kind of tangled up in some transactions that were a little bit complicated. And he had told me, he goes, man, all I can hear is my dad's voice ringing in my head Son, don't ever underestimate the power of your signature, because you just yoked up. True. Don't underestimate it. Look at the people that are crying the blues because their house payment's what it is, and their house is worth this right now. It's difficult. These are difficult days. This is very real. Man, what we decide today can affect us tomorrow. We want to be wise. We want to trust the Lord and ask God to help us. God's word also gives us some indications as to this. If you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy 22. Because God really commanded that we not mix things up. Some of you who traveled through Deuteronomy with us will remember this little portion in chapter 22. But how important it is in 22 verse 9, how important it is that we not mix things together. There's things that don't mix. They don't go well together. And listen to this. You shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed, lest the yield of the seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. It's all mixed up. You know, you're squishing your red grapes and your white grapes together, you know? It's just a mixed up mess. It's a hodgepodge. You shall not plow. I like this one. I actually like it in the original King James better than I like it in this because it's more clear application. But you'll see as we read this. Verse 10, you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You yoke, but they're just a strong, they've got good character, they're strong, they've got a lot of fortitude. They're great people. This is a great person. I'm going to yoke up with them. They're an ox. And what does that make you? Exactly. You got it. In the original King James, it really reads good that way. I know not all of you share my sense of humor. It's okay. But the truth is there. It's the concept, isn't it? They don't, what is the idea? They don't match up, right? The one doesn't, they don't plow, they don't work well together. One just, they're different heights, they just don't, it doesn't match up right. You see, God is saying that to us as believers. Don't yoke up with non-believers in business. Don't yoke up in your relationships of any form of intimacy. Don't yoke up that way because there's not going to be any kind of a really perspective that matches up. The decisions that you're making are going to affect them and also going to affect others, affect your family and others. I dare say we could talk to many of the people in our congregation, even of our size, and you'll find there are many people that would say, oh yeah, I've done some business transactions and I made some mistakes that way. Or no, I had some relationships where I got caught up in something I ought not to have. Or well, the list might go on and the ramifications of that and why it's so dangerous. But God's word tells us not to mix this way. You should not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed together. Why? Because one is kind of a cooling thing and one is a warmth thing. They don't mix together. One causes you to sweat, and one just kind of helps to relieve the perspiration. You know, they don't match. It doesn't fit. Bad idea to mix these things up. You shall make tassels on your four corners of your clothing, which covers yourself. So this idea of mixing things, this lukewarm concept, it doesn't work. Jesus said, be hot or be cold. Don't be lukewarm. Get on or get off. Be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out. And he uses a strong term. It's a term for vomit. You know, he just spews you. Too much of the world in us to enjoy the Lord. That's lukewarm. Too much of the world to enjoy the Lord. And too much of the Lord to enjoy the world. Been there. Been there. Been a part of that. It was horrible in my much younger years because I knew the truth, was not walking in the truth, and man, I was definitely messed up. I had too much of the world to enjoy anything of God, and I had way too much of the Lord to enjoy anything of the world. Didn't fit. They don't mix. They don't fit together. One mutually excludes the other. The light switch goes on, darkness dispels. One's mutually exclusive of the other. This last part. Verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. In Matthew 6:18, the first mention of the church shows up by Jesus when he's talking with the guys there in Caesarea Philippi. And he tells them, as Peter has said, when after the question of who do men say that I am, and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, upon this rock, I will build that statement, that profession, I will build my church. We are part of his church. We belong to him. It's his church. We belong to Jesus Christ. He said, I will build my church. And that word church there is a specific word that is talking about people that are collectively pulled out of all sectors of the world and society. Religions, backdrops, everything. They come out, but they're now separate because they function as the church, no longer a part of these other external things, but are the church, the body of Christ. Great truth to know. A people called out from among many people. A new and separate group was formed called the church. And that's what we're a part of. That's what we belong to. It is our Father's desire for us to be away in that sense, to not be running in the same crowd of thought as we once did, to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's Dad's desire. We, again, have been given this new nature, right? We're a new creation in Christ. We're new people now. We're walking with the Lord. It's not that we're going to be perfect and we always say and do the right things, but what's our heart's intent? Is it my desire to be close with the Lord and to do the things that would please him? Then, man, listen to what he says. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's going to cause grief. It's going to be troublesome. It's better to cease that before it goes any further. Basically, our Father wants to bless us, and it is his desire to do good toward us. That's the desire of every good dad, is just the desire to bless his family, his kids. Wants to do things with them. And I used to come home, and I remember with three boys, you can imagine the kind of craziness that used to ensue at times. And I'd come home, and all kinds of things have been going on, and I just tell them, gosh, guys, you know, I come home, I want to just have fun. I like to have a good time with my kids. I like to just do stuff with them and hang out with them. And I tell them, man, look, it's up to you guys when I come home what kind of an evening we're going to have. If you guys are goofballs and doing stuff you shouldn't be doing, then it's going to be a bummer of an evening because now I got to bust you and deal with all this stuff. Or you can just try to fly right a little bit, and then I can come home, we can have some fun and do some good stuff. You know, you choose. Sometimes we choose that. This is kind of what God's saying is, gosh, guys, I want to bless. I want to do good things for you. But you've got to come out. You've got to make that choice to not flow in that same flood that we once ran in. I know, brothers and sisters, I know these things are difficult to palate sometimes, difficult to work through. It's worth contemplating those areas and to think through. Man, we've been given this new nature. We're not the same as we used to be. God's word clearly tells us not to mix certain things up. They don't fit. We're not going to be yoked right. And you know what? It also hurts and damages the other animal when it's not correctly yoked and connected together properly. We want that yoke that's designed just for us, just for you. Between you and the Lord. That's the yoke we want to take upon us. Because, man, we've got a Savior, a God who loves us with a perfect love and has designed it just to fit you, just to fit me for his purposes and his care. Lord, today it's our desire that we would know this truth, Lord, that we would walk in it, that we would not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, that we would turn away from those things that would not be pleasing to you, and that would really, this warning that you give us of really being separate in that sense, not weirdly exclusive, but just using wisdom and not being connected to things that are ultimately destructive to us and others that are around and connected to us. Lord, we want to be doing things that honor you, that please you.